We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good afternoon, Todd with you, WTIC. Oh, man. They are coming every which way to mess up America. It's fascinating when Democrats take charge of things after a Republican administration, and you see the changes. They're so excited about doing things that are bad for the economy, for example, like $15 minimum wage on a federal level. Can you imagine? What's the federal minimum wage right now? Isn't it like $7.50 or something? Imagine doubling that. For most places, it's not that big of a deal, except for the places where it is a big deal. The places where they don't have as an expensive way of life. But right now, minimum wage, what would you want to do with minimum wage if you cared about the best interests of the country? Instead of trying to win favor with a particular voting bloc, if you wanted to do what was best for the country, you would actually suspend minimum wage. You would say, we know we promised you a hike in minimum wage, but we really got to get rid of what we have now. Because when restaurants get a chance, if they ever do, to rehire, when retailers have a chance to open back up, when hair salons get busy again, they've got to have it be as cheap as possible to get workers back in. And we can't artificially prop up the cost of jobs, or there will be fewer jobs. And it's more important to us to have more jobs now. Will they say that? I don't think so. Will they tell the truth? I don't think so. Minimum wage. What could be more horrible? And listen to this. They're worried about. This is the thing that concerns me. We've been talking a lot about my views on Donald Trump, and my views on Donald Trump are based on the problems that we have in the present. And one of the problems we have in the present is that the backlash against Donald Trump at this moment is so powerful that it threatens our ability to survive moving forward. It really does. And the fact that he sabotaged those Georgia elections, that gives the Democrats way more leverage to make a mess of things the way they like to do. Listen to this. This was on CNN this weekend. It's Brian Stetler, the guy who does the media show. And he's talking to a former Facebook executive about censoring conservatives. Censoring conservatives. The idea of censoring conservatives is, well, it's nothing new. You've been hearing about it a lot, like social media, where everyone moves to Parler or Gab. They go after Parler and Gab. They want to shut down freedom of speech. This is what the compassionate left talks all the time about, how much it cares about our democratic values, those great social values of free speech.
We have to turn down the capability of...
Let me make this a little louder for you. This is, again, it's a former Facebook executive who apparently is well-connected still and is well-respected for what he has to say in Silicon Valley.
We have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger daytime, a larger audience than daytime CNN. And they are...
You hear that? There are people on online distributed communications media. Say somebody is on YouTube and has a popular YouTube channel. His concern is they're more popular than CNN. Listen again.
We have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger daytime, a larger audience than daytime CNN. And they are.
Why is he comparing anything to CNN? CNN is what, isn't it one of the most biased things you could ever watch? He's holding it up as some kind of measuring point for good against these evil people who believe in the American system of government.
And they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem.
The OAN and Newsmax problem. So for this guy, who we can assume is speaking in a voice of Silicon Valley and a voice of the big internet titans, that at this moment in history, this is how they're thinking. What they're thinking is if they want to curry favor with the new administration, they have to be in the business of censoring conservatives and blocking conservatism and stopping ideas that reflect belief in the American system of government from being propagated. This is what scares me. What scares me is a cancel culture coming for us. A cancel culture that says, enough! We can't listen anymore to those people who believe in America. We can't abide these freedoms in the Constitution anymore. They're just too dangerous. There's a reason they've been out there making such a big deal about the need to crack down on Donald Trump. Why they haven't been doing honest reporting on what happened at the Capitol. There's a reason they're doing that, and it's dangerous for us. Your thoughts, please. 860-522-9842.
You know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes. This is, you know, allowing people to seek out information if they really want to, but not pushing it into their faces, I think is where we're going to have to go here.
He thinks where we're going to have to go is you can allow the information to be disseminated, but it's going to be hard to find. You can't let somebody be on a Newsmax, which is distributed on major cable companies. Can't do that. We have to go in another direction, he says. This is what it's all about. This is what the left is up to. They want to obliterate freedom of speech. They want to obliterate the free exchange of ideas. They want to maximize this opportunity of right now, of what they've been able to accomplish by demeaning conservatism with the protests that took place 2 weeks ago at the Capitol. 860-522-9842. Don't forget the rant line. It's there for you. 751-4698. We're going to talk first hour. Second hour goes to Jolly Ned, making up for the holiday yesterday. And then third hour, we'll have our rant line hour. These are scary people, and they're serious people. There are even there are even stories all of a sudden out there worried about podcasts, of all things. Podcasts are unsupervised. Podcasts are a loophole. They have a loophole because their freedom of speech isn't being curbed. These people are wild. So we've got that. And the minimum wage is something we have to talk about because they're pushing for a national minimum wage of $15. That would force whatever the federal government does takes precedence over state laws. So if you've got a gradual increase in minimum wage on a state level over time, if the feds pass, which is what Biden wants to do, he wants to pass a $15 minimum wage. If he does it in one shot, bang, up to $15, you know, that could lead to major unemployment. And it could make a mess of states that are operating on a different basis. And it would cause, I think, a lot of restaurateurs who are trying to hang on to just say, forget about it. I can't hang on. 860-522-9842. Hello there, John. What's on your mind, sir?
Mr. Feinberg, it is an honor to talk to you.
Thank you.
I wanted to make an observation, kind of a historical observation, comparing what's going on now or potentially going on with McCarthyism as that took place a little while back, and how it's kind of the other side of the coin. And it's just I wonder how we can compare the two and try and find an understanding for both sides of the fence. But it's an interesting observation that it seems to be happening.
How would you compare the two to? I mean, to me, it doesn't require comparison. We know that we have free speech for a reason, and the free speech applies most of all in the space of political speech, that we need to be protected in our ability to attack the way things are done. And
absolutely,
anybody who's coming along saying, let's take that away from people, I don't even know if you need comparisons there. It's just bad.
No, you know, in a sense, you really don't. It's just that infringement, you know, that the people that were being accused of being communists during the McCarthy era, they, you know, they felt that their rights were being infringed upon. And now those of us who are accused of being constitutionalists are having our rights infringed upon. It's an interesting sort of a cycle that it seems to be happening. And I don't like it. It's not comfortable. I'm hoping for a stability to occur at some point in time soon that we can then just go forward. But it's a challenge right now, I think, for everybody.
Yes, it is. Thank you, sir. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Zap, where did you go? Zap calls the rant line. I was looking forward to talking with him. David in Springfield. Hello, David.
Hello. Just before you come on, I heard this thing about the people criticizing the flavored tobacco. I want to say this. If that tobacco settlement of 1998 had been a good settlement instead of the treacherous and devious and dishonest settlement it was, which was good for the lawyers but not good for the people who suffered from the effects of tobacco, there would be no flavored. There would have been a settlement where they couldn't have flavored tobacco products to begin with. And the reason they have them now is because there never was anything in that 1998 settlement which forbade that type of a thing. And the tobacco settlement of 1998 was treacherous and dishonest and deceitful because the people who suffered from the effects of tobacco didn't get a dollar, and all the money went to the lawyers in that big settlement. And the brother, of that senator from Mississippi, Trent Lott, he received a huge settlement as one of the lawyers. Oh, the money they paid out to these lawyers was enough to make you angry.
Well, anger is a good thing to have with most of what government is doing. David, thank you for the phone call. 860-522-9842. More coming up after this on WTIC. Yeah, it's a scary world. And this is what we're up against right now. This is what we're up against right now. They are going to be coming for our most basic, well, they already are, our most basic rights. And it goes into this whole area. So Facebook or Parler or Twitter, whatever, that's their space. They have a right to make the rules right now about who gets to say what. But the idea of of and that is their right. It's their property. They're the ones who started the businesses. And if we want to get back at them, we should. We've got to start our own places, like talk radio is a home for alternative thought to the standard anti-American thought of the left, which dominates everything now. But how do you do that if the people who control the infrastructure, like an Amazon, play politics with our with the availability of their platform to be able to disseminate our freedom of speech? It's a really tricky problem. Listen to this again. This is a former Facebook executive talking about the big problem of conservative thought online and what to do about it, how to block it, or how much to block it.
We have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger daytime, a larger audience than daytime CNN.
Is there anyone, by the way, who you consider to be dangerous in terms, a threat to the country in terms of what they have to say? Is there anybody you can point to and say, yeah, that person is so outrageous with their politics that they need to be blocked? Because I don't know where people would get this. The idea that, we're somehow better off? Are we somehow better off if certain people don't get their opinions voiced? I don't think so. I think that one of the key things about freedom of speech and why it's so important is to allow there to be not to let the pressure build up for a position that's unrepresented in the marketplace.
And they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem.
And right now, by the way, they're protected from liability. They're protected from liability for what gets published on their sites, Facebook and Twitter, because they're not curators, they say. They're not like a newspaper that decides what gets published. They're providing platforms for us to decide what we want to publish. But if they're blocking us from publishing what we want to say, if they won't let us assert certain positions, like patriotic ones, then shouldn't they leave their protections under Section 230? Shouldn't they lose those?
You know, these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes.
Well, how are they going to get there if Comcast and AT&T don't bring them? How do they get there? How exactly does speech get disseminated today if in order to curry favor with a new administration, there's a crackdown on speech from the other side? Remember when Democrats used to call themselves the party of good government? This doesn't seem like good government. And one of the disconcerting things about all this back and forth and the demonizing of pro-liberty viewpoints, freedom-based viewpoints, is this idea that somehow the left doesn't do all the things that they accuse us of doing. That they aren't out there doing bad stuff all the time and disseminating anti-Americanism all the time. And pushing policies that are destroying our abilities as a people to survive. They are the party of bankruptcy. They are the party of system rigging. Democrats are the party of all the bad stuff that's going on in America today. That's how I see it. And that might make me bannable, but it should make them bannable too, if that's the case. In which case, there is no freedom of speech. So, yes, technically freedom of speech is our right to not be arrested for speaking truth to power. But if all the conversation is taking place on a Facebook and a Google platform, what do? Is competition enough if Amazon controls the servers and can just take you down? 860-522-9842. And don't forget about the rant line. It's there, 860-751-4698. How do you feel about the future? Are you optimistic right now? Things going well, do you think? And how's it going to be during the first year of the Biden administration? Swearing in is tomorrow. We'll continue after news on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Paranoia strikes deep into your life. It will
so we've got a minimum wage on the table. Joe Biden proposing a $15 minimum wage as part of his bailout package. Would that be anything other than bad for business? Facebook executive on the tape we've been playing is proposing, a former Facebook executive is proposing the curbing of the free flow of conservative thought because it's just too dangerous. It's got to be blocked online. And then Dave from Brantford just called in and said, you've got to look at this story that's in the Current this afternoon. Starting today, the Hartford Current will begin dramatically scaling back its use of mugshots on crime stories, both on our website and in the newspaper. Well, up until now, our general practice has been to use a mugshot if it's available. Under this new approach, we will not. There are several reasons for this change. First, the longstanding policy of the Current has been to avoid identifying a suspect in a criminal proceeding by their race, unless absolutely necessary to telling the story. Publishing a mugshot can undermine that policy. Second, mugshots can enforce stigmas, especially around individuals and communities of color. They often reinforce stereotypes, bolstering prejudicial assumptions. Shouldn't that be for us to decide what the data is? And I mean, we have to be exposed to the news to be able to know what we should be prejudiced by and what not. So what they're saying is we don't deserve information. We can't be trusted with it. A news organization says they have to cut us off from the facts. We're too dangerous. Tim in Hamden. Hey, Tim.
Well, you know, I've been listening to your show and Reverend Will, and, both of you kind of backed off on the conspiracy theory idea that the election was totally stolen and that sort of thing. And you get all this blowback and name calling for both of you. So
when did Will do this? Did Will do this today?
He's been doing it off and on different times, just trying. He's not happy with it. But the idea that, you know, Argentinian lifts servers and are bouncing off Europe and everything. I'm calling up speaking on a station that, you know, has all white, all conservative talk show hosts on. There's no women. There's no minority people. And that's your right. You know, you're a publicly traded company. And, you know, this idea that we're going to totally censor everybody on the Republican thing. You know, can the president, ex-president, call up Rush and Hannity next week and get on their shows? Of course. Same thing with Fox and everything else. He's going to have free access to the media for the rest of his life. He's a celebrity. He gets ratings. And,
well, I'm not complaining about Donald Trump's access to the media. I'm complaining about our access. If all they did was cut him off, that would be fine. You know, the trouble is the reason they're cutting him off is as a gateway into the idea that conservative thought shouldn't be allowed to be disseminated because it's evil. That's the only reason they're making such a big deal out of this.
I think the idea of fomenting violence, which Mitch McConnell now is saying, you know, it's the president's fault. The terrorists are now using that as a defense. That the president told them to go up there and, you know, cause trouble and that sort of thing. They're saying that's what it was being told. So if you're any group, left, right, or whatever, and you're trying to foment violence and distrust and attack your own party and everything, it's going to get to the point where average people are going to say, no, no. And you're going to be getting more and more censorship. It just, we can't keep this conspiracy nonsense out there that this station and so many others, you know, day in and day out, the election was stolen. The election.
I don't know what you're talking about. You start off by talking about how Will and I aren't disseminating that. So why are you talking about that's all we do?
You're saying that, you know, people haven't been calling up for months and months saying that the election was going to be stolen. And, echoing the president's comments, I've heard, you guys, you know, did that for a long time. We can't trust the elections. You know, your daily mantra is everything's rigged, and that sort of thing. And so,
that's true. That's what the political parties are in the business of doing. That's one of the reasons I'm upset with the president, is I think he made it harder to argue where there is factual election manipulation going on all the time. Do you think, Tim, that the political parties aren't trying to manipulate the election by changing the structures around elections?
I think they're trying their best to win it, but, you know, that some sort of deep state, that's code word.
I didn't say, stop making an argument about things I didn't say, all right? If you want to talk about something, talk about what I'm saying. Stop forcing me to debate other people's points. That's not my point, the deep state. My point is that political parties are in the business of making the rules. They control the government, and they make the rules that make it hard for a third party, say, to get onto a ballot. They're the ones that make the rules about how districts are written. They control all of the policy. The Democrats and Republicans do with regard to how elections are run. So, of course, elections are manipulated. And as I say all the time, the only purpose for letting people vote a month before an election is because you want to use that time to get people to vote who don't want to vote. And that's how Democrats manipulate elections, using early voting. Mark in West Hartford. Hi.
Hey, Todd. I saw that last week. My liberal wife has me getting the Hartford Current. You know, I used to get mad reading it. Now I laugh. But, you know, how are they going to get around when a crime is committed associated with a very ethnic name? I mean, what if I see Sean O'Malley or Enzo Mangiafico or Tyrone Williams? Or how are we going to get around that? Because, you know, believe it or not, I kind of got a common sense old school value. If I see a name, I'm going to associate it with an ethnicity. How's the Current going to get away from that?
I don't know. They'll probably outlaw making that assumption.
I mean, is it going to be, you know, like I said, I mean, is it going to be Guido Doe? I mean, are we just going to add Doe? We just use the first names? I mean, you can't get around that. They've lost. I mean, I don't know how much farther they can get progressive outside of this now.
Well, it's when leaning in a certain direction goes so far that you've fallen over and you're just awash in the muck of the position that you stand in. So why would a newspaper, by the way, these newspapers are dying, I think, because of this kind of mentality. They don't actually want to report what's important. They don't want to highlight what's important. They want to fabricate what's important and then play to that fabricated importance all the time and restructure the society. But that's not their job.
Well, I never thought I'd see the day where the majority of the content of the Hartford Current is the obituary section. And that's no lie, my friend. Thanks for letting me on.
Well, it's good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. These people are soft. They aren't going to print mugshots because of the way it might, percolate out into the atmosphere and change the atmosphere for particular groups of people. But you know what? If a mugshot, if the person arrested for a crime is a white person, then the mugshot would be a white person. That would not be prejudicial in any way. That would simply be cause and effect. And same with any other race. So what are they talking about? What exactly are they looking to fix except to cover up that the Democratic areas are populated largely by minorities, not majority, and I shouldn't say largely, I guess, but that there is a disproportionate number of minorities in cities. And because those cities are so poorly managed, there is a lack of economic opportunity for the people who live there. And because the education is so bad, because Democrats care more about unions than they care about people and kids, then those people can't get ahead. We should have all the information we can. We need to know how many black lives and Hispanic lives and Asian lives and whatever lives are being ruined by the bad policies of the Democrats and their decision to make police unions more important than the people who might be getting hurt by bad cops who are being protected by those unions. We need all the information to be able to make good decisions. And these newspapers have this feeling of God. They think they're God and they have to control what information we get. So we don't make mistaken assumptions based on that information. It's so ridiculous and disgusting. Bill's calling from Granby. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Todd, how are you? Another great program. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to comment on that clip that you played of that Facebook executive on CNN.
Yes.
Because he said all there is to say about what's going on, right? The democratization of the platforms and AWS have allowed for the democratization of media content of any kind to be purveyed directly to consumers the way that they want to buy it, when they want to buy it. And All of those clicks and those followers that he talked about translate into money. And so these content providers that are working in a lot of cases from their homes are getting paid more by advertisers than the syndicates that operate in Rockefeller Center. And that is unacceptable.
So put that another way so everybody can get what you mean.
Well, Dan Bongino is working from his basement, and he's making more money than CNN, NBC, CBS, because he's got more followers. And the corporate organizations, the global corporate organizations, they want those eyeballs, and they want to advertise on his page, and they want access to his followers. And so they pay.
Right. So effectively what he's arguing for is that there should be a curbing of the access to this democratized internet from the people. We should take it away from the people so that the corporate media can continue to control all the viewing.
That is correct. And so how are they going to do that? Everybody is going to use what happened at the Capitol and to say that, well, you know, that was caused by the fringe and we can no longer allow free speech. And so the government's going to have to get involved and regulate free speech. And guess who is going to write the legislation that makes that happen? It's going to be the syndicates and the platforms and all the liberals that are in control now. And Jack Dorsey at Twitter and Mark Zuckerberg are going to transfer their authority to the government. But the end result is going to be the same. It's going to be squelching conservative speech.
Well, they're kind of sucking up to the government because they want to get good regulatory policy out of the new administration. So this is the curse of big government, big media, all of it combined. The bigger things get, the less democratic values have a chance to flourish, and the more bad stuff happens, the more top-down control happens. We'll take more phone calls coming up. We've got to get a break in. We'll be right back on WTIC. WTIC, thanks for being here. 860-522-9842. The rant line during the 5 o'clock hour. Fill it up now. 860-751-4698. Tom in Canton. Hello, Tom.
Hello. Great show. I just thought I had a kind of a humorous thought. Since so many Hispanics voted for Trump and you have all these migrant trains coming up north here, how great would it be to have a bunch of migrant buses with Trump 24 signs on them as they approach the border.
That would certainly confuse people.
And the media's response, you know.
Yes. Yes. Anyway. Someone should outfit them with some nice flashing lights and the whole shebang.
I decided to throw that one out there for the fun of it. Okay.
Well, thank you, Tom. Nice to hear from you. Good to get a little humor thrown in. Now, this is wild stuff. This idea of shutting down. Well, if you're just tuning in, listen to this. This is a former Facebook executive talking on CNN over the weekend.
We have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than daytime CNN.
That's what the caller was referring to a few minutes ago. What exactly is wrong with people on YouTube having a bigger audience than daytime CNN? Why is that a problem? Exactly. He's making the argument that average people shouldn't have the ability to gain influence. Average, you know, you should have to go through the corporate vetting process. But the corporate vetting process includes Rupert Murdoch over at Fox News. They're not in love with Fox News. What do they think about that? Well, they'll take it because they control all the other media, I guess. This is a dangerous moment because Democrats are coming into office with more power than usual to do bad things. Not legislatively necessarily, but the way Trump sabotaged the election in Georgia, causing the loss of both of those seats, puts Democrats in a stronger position and makes Trump weaker leaving office. And that makes us more vulnerable to this kind of bad action by the bad actors on the left who claim they love us, who claim they respect the Constitution, who claim to love democratic values. But what are they doing? Why are they pumping up this sense of Trump as the cause of what happened 2 weeks ago, when it's the whole political environment that contributes to these things? In fact, Trump was made possible by Democrats. I mean, that's how it works. Biden was made possible by Trump. It is an interactive thing. And there's an oppressive atmosphere created in many neighborhoods in our state and our country by the management of Democrats that leaves so little opportunity. There is an oppressive atmosphere created when you have one side controlling a state, and they keep driving that state into the ground by overtaxing and under-delivering on economic activity with the overtaxation and driving us into bankruptcy. All right, that's the kind of thing that leads to riots, too. Riots don't just happen at that moment. But people have to place, political forces have to place those substances that become explosive under certain circumstances. That's caused by management of things like a one-party rule in the state of Connecticut that causes economic oppression and frustration because of how unresponsive the political system is.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.